buddy Jonathan Scott, Vegas Nonstop, here on NBC Sports Radio 920 KBAD. And it is a Monday, and
I don't like you over here this close to me.
Well, I have to because, you know, things just aren't working.
Oh, because you had to duct tape the phone to the microphone?
I had duct tape. Yeah, we have high tech here at NBC. we duct taped the Facebook
this
phone.
This is my area.
I know it's your
I
area,
like
but I moved
over.
Over.
I
know
you moved over. Room for you over here.
Yeah, but like now, normally I could do this and this, and now I can't.
Joining me, my co-host, something's fishy.
Kramer.
Jeffrey with a G. G-Wag.
What is happening, Jonathan? Have you awakened from your...
No.
Your coma?
No. I was sleeping 2 days in a row at Cashman Field watching our Chicago Cubs, our World Series champion Chicago Cubs. Also joining us direct from the Brent Musburger Show, Robin.
Hey, now.
Hey, back here. Hey, Kingsley. So,
slumming it with the peasants again.
The Chicago Cubs defeated the Cincinnati Reds 22-4 in the finale of the Big League Weekend Spring Training two-game series before a sellout crowd. We're all sellouts, right, Rob? 11,285 people at Cashman Field. Two-day event had a total attendance of 22,740. The Cubs built a 9-1 lead after four innings and then scored 13 runs over their final three at-bats. Center fielder Albert Amaro Jr. was 3-for-4, a double, two home runs, five RBIs. Left fielder Bijan Rademacher was 3-for-5, a double, a grand slam in the eighth. Run sixth inning. Las Vegas' own Chris Bryant playing third base was 1-for-2, two walks, a double, two runs scored. Chicago Cubs, amazing, 22-4 runs for the Cincinnati
okay,
Reds.
Okay, relax. It's preseason
baseball. Joining us
baseball.
On air, MVD, Most Valuable Dad, Mike Bryant. Mike, are you with us?
I am, and was that the Boomtown rap opening up your show?
Yes, it was.
Nice.
It was I love that.
Rats. Good call, Mike.
I don't like Mondays, right?
Yeah. I hate Mondays. So let's get your perspective of the 2 days in the whirlwind career of your son and being Most Valuable Dad.
Oh, wow. Well, he was overwhelmed with all the demands on his time. My son, Nick, Chris's older brother, actually signed more autographs than me. it was pretty cool. The Cubs kind of just showed what they're capable of, and I know it's a spring training game, but they got three touchdowns, one with an extra point. So that was, one with a two-point conversion. There you go. But it was impressive. You know, they just kept hitting. They just kept swinging the bats. I can't believe they weren't throwing anything to my kid in a spring training game, to tell you the truth. It's ridiculous, when you keep it in perspective. Rizzo gets a cookie hitting in front of him and knocks it out of the park on the first – I called that, by the way. First pitch that he saw – In the bottom half of the first, I called it dinger. So, no, pretty good though. Fun, a lot of fun, man. Vegas. If I had one beef about it, is I would like to see, the big leaguers play seven innings both days because these guys are paying to see the big leaguers. No, not any disrespect to, Chris's colleagues, minor league colleagues or anything, but. I just would have loved to. I know Chris got his playing time, got his at bats, but I would have liked to see Lester and Arrieta come up and throw an inning. And I know Addy's a little hurt and Zobrist is a little hurt, so they were holding them back a little bit. But to see the big leaguers, the world champions out there in the field would have been a little bit more probably satisfying, I think, for the fans in general.
Yeah, it would have been awesome, but it was still so much fun to have all the Cubs fans out there, and it was a real treat as a Cubs fan, as a Chicagoan, to be out there with all the Chicago guys and hang out with you and meet your wife Susie and visit with your family, and it was just a great day. But you have some opinions you want to talk about the umpires, didn't you?
I've been on this. This is a mission. I've been on a mission for about the last 15 years, but. I'm not trying to disrespect him or anything. Basically, my biggest beef is, we got replay on the bases now. We can review home runs. The next great, the bastion to conquer would be the strike zone, and was never more on full, you know, naked display as in the World Baseball Classic. The things that we saw there were atrocious, and you know, I'm not afraid to say it. But you know, Tony Pena gets heaved out of the game, the Venezuelan manager, and you know, all the players were totally disgusted with some of the calls, the balls and strike calls. So you know, it just makes more of the case for the electronic strike zone. I don't know, not know why they're fighting this. I mean, it is there. It is good. It works. Eric Burns worked it in a minor league game flawlessly over the weekend. He said it was great. This is going to be harder than passing health care and a tax cut, for crying out loud. But I think we should do it, you know. It's pretty obvious, yeah. The umps just have not performed to the levels, the standards that a major league hitter has, or pitcher for that matter, has set for themselves.
Mike, it's Jeffrey with a G. How are you, sir?
I'm good, bud.
It's so good to see you on Saturday on the field. You were in very high demand, and you were so gracious to everyone that wanted to talk to you, as was Chris, who just sat there so humbly talking to everyone. It was great seeing you and your family on the field.
Well, that's great. Thanks for that.
I'm looking at an article that came out today by Mr. Tom Verducci in Sports Illustrated. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Oh, yeah. What a great article.
What a beautiful article, and what a nice ode to you and Susie as parents, what you've done for your children, especially Chris. Who knew he really wanted to be a dentist?
I did when he was young. Boy, he brushed his teeth, six times a day. He was that's probably one thing that they don't know about my son, Chris, is that he's never had a cavity. Not one.
Not only that, I was amazed to read. I mean, this is the golden boy. I mean, he married his high school sweetheart, won the college player of the year, rookie of the year, MVP, World Series ring. How does he stay so grounded?
I think it's pretty simple. It's that he has a lot of respect, not only for the game, but for his opponents, you know, and I showed him this thing. I get a little sheet that says 50 ways to lose a ball game, and my skipper, Dick Berardino, in my rookie ball short season when I first signed with the Red Sox, gave us this sheet, and I kept it all these years. And it says one of the ways to lose a ball game is the failure to respect your opponent. If you don't respect your opponent, then you're not going to get the respect in return. So Chris respects the game. He respects everybody he plays against. He doesn't try to show anybody up. And I think, you know, that's probably at the foundation of his, you know, how he plays the game. And that spills over. He's being himself, so it spills over into all his interviews and anybody that comes in contact with him. And that's big. I mean, you know, he doesn't over-celebrate. You know, he understands the magnitude of a big game like the World Series, so he's going to get a little bit animated, you know, in that case, or a big game. But, you know, even when he had those walk-off dingers, they were reserved. When he had that big night in Cincinnati and Hayward's pushing him out there for the curtain call on the road and he wouldn't do it, you know, he's just that way. And he doesn't, you know, want to bring that negative attention onto himself. So, I love him for it, I'll tell you, because he's bigger than I could be, but for him to be able to be that way is a major accomplishment for me and my wife.
On the second page of the SI article, Mike, Verducci writes, quote, "Bryant has only one equal in baseball when it comes to hitting 60 home runs and winning a World Series in his first 2 years in the big leagues. His name is Joe DiMaggio, the archetype of baseball mythologizing." And I got to tell you, I was lucky enough to wait on Joe D as a 24-year-old living in Atlantic City. And Chris is much nicer and better looking.
Well, yeah, that's cool. But to be put in the same sentence as, the Yankee Clipper, wow. That is incredibly humble. And when I read that, it was like, you know, you're putting my kid in sentences with those guys. Whoa, you know, that's... That is incredible.
The best of the best, yeah. Absolute greatness.
Mike, this is Rob. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, man, what's up?
I was curious about the range of emotions you must have gone through in that World Series last year. Can you kind of take us back to what you were riding, and do you still pinch yourself for what you saw?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, it didn't hit me till about 3 days after we had won it. Actually, no, that's not true. When I was riding in the parade with Chris, we were about halfway through Wrigleyville, and I just was just numbed from the it was fever pitch level of excitement and love. Just that the you couldn't hear yourself talk, you couldn't hear yourself think. That's when it hit me. But through the I was there for every game in the playoffs. I did not experience any type of, you know, emotional high and low at all. I mean, I felt like I became Chris, and I was as calm as could be on the field. And I was so immersed in the game. So it was amazing to have dealt with that on that level. And to be, I felt like I was competing. You know, that's the best way to describe it. I was, you know, living vicariously through my kid, I guess. Everybody says you're not supposed to do that. But I was so calm and cool. It was amazing. And then I just got overwhelmed with emotion and the parade. And 3 days later, that's when I said, I pinched me. Did it really just happen? Wow. You know, it was incredible. I mean, even down 3-1, you know, I was like, man, we can do this. Look at the rotation, the way it lines up, Arrieta, Lester, you know, Hendricks. I mean, it was... I had all the confidence in the world in these guys. And they, being around the players, they didn't feel any pressure whatsoever. There was no anxiety. They were as loose as could be when I'd see them in the lobby or out to eat. And, you know, I'd talk with Rizzo. He's all smiles. And, you know, and Justin Grimm and Schwarber. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, he's a special breed of ball player right there. I'm telling you right now. But to have dealt with that on that level, wow. It wasn't as emotional as you think until afterwards. That's when I felt it.
But when that rain started falling in Game 7, did you start pacing?
No, because you know what? I already had the radar up. I knew it was going to rain, and I looked at my wife, and I say 20 minutes max. And sure enough, it was 17 minutes, Chris's number, 17. This was magical at this point. It was a 17-minute rain delay, but I knew it wasn't going to be a long one, but it was just enough to regroup.
Mike, I got to ask you one more question before we let you go. From one Red Sox fan to another, the Red Sox and Cubs have now both reversed the curse, crushed the curse, whatever you want to talk, however you want to say it. The World Series, Red Sox are playing the Cubs, game one, Chris Sale against Arrieta. You wearing your Cubs hat or you wearing your Red Sox hat?
I'm wearing my Cubs hat now, man.
Oh, hey, Cubs hat's getting him a new house.
I'm not gonna lie, my heart hurts. That hurts.
Blood is thicker than whatever.
Listen, I get it. It's your kid, it's family. I understand. But the Red Sox are still in your heart, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm a pilgrim, man, for sure. You know, they're American League, so I'm always watching what they're doing and pulling for them. And you know, Fenway Park, I'm going back there at the end of April. You know, the Boston Globe reporter, Stan Grossfeld, did a big piece on me a couple months ago. And, you know, he wanted me to take BP with the Red Sox in a Red Sox uniform. And I was like, Chris, Dad, don't do that, man. You can't do that.
You came up in the organization. They drafted you in 1980. That would have been beautiful.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? That would have been too weird. And besides, man. I'm sore, man. I can't hit the ball anymore. All my skills are gone.
Well, I also know, by the way, I also know how many hours you spend with your students always practicing, taking BP and stuff, so I can imagine how that must feel.
Yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm so lucky to be able to do this and be as busy as I am. And, you know, a few years from now, I can see, I have some kids right now. I have about 3 or 4 kids on the 50 or 60 that I'm working with on a regular basis, and they're younger. These kids could be something special, and they're coming to me regularly every week. Their parents are real big believers, and you know, because I don't just teach them, I talk to them about, you know, what's important in life and how to have a baseball, how to have a balance in your baseball life, and the importance of having an education, not just for a backup, but it helps you become a better ball player. All this stuff. I'm locked into these kids, and their parents are so appreciative of it. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if I got 3 or 4 kids in high school in, you know, I'm going to say 5 years from now, 6 years from now, all hitting 20 dingers and potentially first-round draft picks.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Mike, are some, you got any future Chris Bryants, Bryce Harpers under your tutelage?
You got some names we should be looking out for?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You know, I don't know what how big they're going to be or anything, but, you know, based on, you know, there's a couple kids with it, mom and dad are pretty good size, so they could become, you know, 6'4" behemoth power hitters, but they're athletes. I got a shortstop kid that's, I call him my little Brandon Crawford. He slugs. He hits homers every weekend. I'm going public with him right now. Sam Kemmer. You watch that.
Nice.
And
Sam Kemmer.
I'm telling you, I got another guy, Chase Sorley. He's 11. This kid comes to me twice a week since he's 11 now. Since he's 6 years old, he's dropping bombs left and right. I'm telling you, I got some players.
You said his name is Chase.
I think they're going to be special, and I hope they do.
Yeah, let him keep finish talking.
You said his name is Chase Sorley?
Chase Sorley and Sam Kemmer, those two guys right now. And I got a few other ones too. I got this little guy, 8-year-old kid. He's got the mind of a 16-year-old, and he's a little guy, Stone Trigg. How about that, huh? Stone.
That might be the best baseball name I've ever heard.
Yep. Lefty. He's a little lefty. Throws lefty. Could be a center fielder. I got him catching, playing first. I got him playing short on my little 9-year-old club team. He's going to be special.
Well, Mike, I know you've got kids that are waiting for you to give them some instruction right now. Appreciate a few minutes out of your day. We got to get you back in the studio. Thanks for hanging out with us. It was an incredible couple of days. So we're gonna let you jump out. We're gonna talk to you real soon. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
MVD, Most Valuable Dad, Mike Bryant, Chris Bryant's father. We're gonna take a short commercial break. You're listening to NBC Sports Radio 920 KBAD. Stay right where you are.
I'd like to thank Commissioner Goodell, the two committee chairmen, and my other 31 partners in the National Football League for making this vote in our favor. I'd also like to thank Governor Brian Sandoval and congratulate him as well, and the legislature of Nevada, who overwhelmingly supported this process and are bringing the Raiders to Las Vegas. And finally, I'd like to thank Sheldon Adelson, whose vision and directions made it possible, and probably never would have happened without him. My father used to say that the greatness of the Raiders is in its future, and the opportunity to build a world-class stadium in the entertainment capital of the world is one opportunity that will give us the ability to achieve that greatness. I have mixed feelings, obviously. I love Oakland. I love the fans in Oakland. And I know that there's going to be disappointment and maybe some anger. And I just hope that in the future, as we play in Oakland this year, that they understand that it wasn't the players, it wasn't the coaches that made this decision, but it was me that made it. And if they have anybody to talk to about it, it should be me. And I will, in the coming days, try to explain to them what went into making this difficult decision. Thank you.
The Raiders.
Jonathan Scott. Vegas nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 9:20 a.m. So the big news, the big story is out. We're getting football. We're getting the NFL here in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, baby. The Raiders are coming. It was voted almost unanimously, 31-1.
Miami Dolphins?
Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, voted nay.
No nay, nay.
Rob's got a great theory on that.
Goodell had a little pact that anybody who voted against this would get a lower-level Patriots draft pick. The Dolphins need all the help they can get. But it's funny because I remember talking with you guys. We just reminisced before the start of this show. It was not more than 14 months ago.
Amazing how fast this
happened. We were in a different studio and talking about the first seed of this came across 14 months ago, and here we are today. Boom, boom.
It's amazing how fast it was passed. The stadium approval, the financing, and now the league approving it. It was unheard of. We were talking, 2 years ago? It was unheard of, and here we are 14 months later. It's a done deal.
So it's going to be two seasons that they're still going to... But how's that going to go when the fans all know the team is leaving and they've got to play two full seasons in Oakland before they come here?
Well, you know, Raider fans are pretty special.
They are.
They're not that. You know,
Hell's Angels.
People talk about the Raider Nation, but this is one of those few franchises that is global. And so, you know, it's, and you'll also notice that in a lot of their logos, there's no city on there. Well, granted, they've moved a bit, so but there you are.
Three
they
times.
Are,
is this the third time or the fourth time?
They moved to L.A., back to Oakland.
And then back to L.A. and back to Oakland?
I can't keep up with it. All I know
it's
is
it's either
that
three or four.
They
three
will,
or four.
They will appreciate the product on the field. And, you know, you look at it, they had to put tarps on the upper level anyway. So it's not like that was a total sellout, 60,000 crowd. They will appreciate, though, a winning product, and whether they're going to be here there for a year or two, they will still show up and cheer. They will come here and have more fun than they ever had in
say,
Oakland.
I was going to say, Oakland fans travel well. Marcus Allen.
Casper.
Kenny Stabler.
Yeah.
Oakland fans travel very well.
Yep.
And I know a lot of fans have been alienated from going to the stadium there because of some of the safety issues and other things. And I think they're going to embrace coming to Las Vegas and having an absolute great time.
I'll tell you what, they've gotten a raw deal, too, with this, you know, violent kind of symbol or right. background or history.
Why? Is it not correct?
They've in recent years, they'll play the Niners in preseason games. And I'll tell you who is starting the Rumbles is
the
Niner
fans.
Yes, yes. So
well, they're pretty violent in San Francisco.
Yes.
Where men are men and sheep are scared.
That hate Ashbury
where
area
their skirts
really
so high you can almost see their
stop
wieners.
Stop it, stop it.
Saturday, April 29th, Big Dogs Draft House Rancho and Craig presents the annual Peace, Love, and Happiness Beer Festival. Nice segue, right?
I like how you
Peace, Love,
like
and happiness pays homage to hop-forward beers. I'm going to change that line in the copy. And bold barbecue flavors featuring bold IPAs and double IPAs from around the country and gearing this festival towards loyal hop hounds. There's going to be more than 40 craft beers and a choice of delicious barbecue platters. Enjoy an afternoon of live music, tasters, half pours, and full pints. Free admission, pay as you go. Save time waiting in line and buy your beer tokens in advance at BigDogsBrews.com. That's Peace, Love, and Happiness Beer Festival Saturday, April 29th, 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Big Dogs Draft House, Rancho and Craig. Waiting patiently on the phone, the star of Defending the Caveman, Kevin Burke. Kevin, are you with us?
I am here. How are you guys doing?
I think we're okay. We're still basking or basking in the Cubs' triumphant defeat over the Cincinnati Reds that look like a little league team,
defeat
to tell you the truth.
Or win.
Well,
or
I'll
win.
Tell you what.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's funny you should mention that because I was sitting down by the bullpen, by the Cubs' bullpen.
Right.
And in the bottom of the fifth, which was, I think, one of the longest innings in the history of baseball, but great to watch. This kid's warming up in the bullpen. He's this gangly, young sidearm pitcher. And I'm looking at him like, who's this guy? He's so new to the team, he doesn't even have his name on his jersey, okay? They put him in 00.
Robert Parrish.
So does anybody know his name?
No.
Yeah, even the Cubs press office doesn't know. I called the Cubs press office today to find out who this kid was. They go, we don't know. It must have been somebody they just brought up. So anyway, he's warming up. He's ready to go. He's jumping up and down. He goes and he sits down back in the bullpen. The inning ends. Everybody comes trotting off the field. This kid jumps out of his chair, and he bolts towards the mound. He jumps up like a gazelle. He throws his hands in his air like, this is my first inning in the majors. And he gets out there so fast that he has to stand on the mound and look around for a minute or so and wait till everybody else gets out there, right? So he faced three batters, two ground outs and a fly out. And who knows if that's going to be the only inning that he ever plays in the majors. But that kid was so excited to run out onto that field as a Chicago Cub that whatever his name is, and I'm just going to call him Moonlight Graham from now on, he made me fall in love with baseball all over again.
Could it have been Sid Finch?
Yeah, it could be Sid Finch. Well, although, you know, if he had a 110-mile-an-hour fastball like Sid did, we'd have already heard of him.
So, Kev, we know you're a Cub fan, and do you have any feelings about the Raiders and what's going on? And can you tell our audience a little bit about your show, Defending the Caveman, for those that haven't seen it yet?
Yeah, sure. You know, Caveman's a show about relationships, men and women in relationships, how we misunderstand each other and how those differences, you know, in communication can mess us up. But if we laugh at those differences, we can fall in love with each other all over again. It's a great show for couples, and it's the only resident Broadway show in Las Vegas at this particular time. As far as the Raiders go, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, I think that, you know, there's a lot of tax dollars going to be going into this that I don't know if our community is ever going to see back, you know?
Well, I think we're going to...
I'm sorry, did I just kill everybody's buzz?
I think we're gonna see it back. I agree with what the guys were saying before about the fans. That was my only hesitation was the Raider fans, and do we need any more shootings in front of the Cosmopolitan and craziness more than we have now? But I think it's great.
Are there gonna be Raider fans who move to Las Vegas to follow their team?
I don't know about move to Las Vegas, but they'll certainly travel to come see their team.
For a while until they get a new team.
Abundance of those fans already living here. There was a Sports Illustrated poll done about 10 years ago. The number one voted NFL team in Vegas. It was 12% Oakland, 12% 49ers. So I think there's a big faction here already.
Well, then we're all screwed.
Kev, I didn't know you were there yesterday or the day before. I would have looked for you because we were sitting right behind home plate, and we were hanging out with Mike and having a great time with him, but it was just certainly a great couple of days of baseball, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awesome. I was a little bummed that it was a split squad game. I didn't realize that it was going to be a split squad game, but, man, there's still enough excitement and fun in that game to make up for that.
Well, we've got to get you back into the studio, buddy. I know it was a little short notice today, but we still want to bring some people out to see Defending the Caveman. What theater are you? I forgot where you're at. Are you at the M? Or at the, you're at the D, aren't you?
No, we're at the other single letter. We're at the D.
Yeah. You know, I saw Richard Wilk at the game yesterday as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we're over at the D. We're there every night at 8:40 p.m. We never close. We're there every single night. So anytime you feel an urge to bring your significant other to a show and fall in love after you laugh your butt off for an hour and a half, come on in.
It's a great show. It's called Defending the Caveman. I'm sorry I got the wrong letter, but I'm not really full awaked up yet. So I want to thank you for calling in. Kevin Burke, Defending the Caveman. We're going to take another short commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 KBAT.
I believe it turned during the L.A. Part where before the vote for Los Angeles, Oakland had an opportunity to come in and make a presentation to the league. And they came in with a 5-page piece of paper that had nothing to do with anything. And they claimed that they would wait for us to lose the vote and then to come back and they'd have all the leverage. We lost the vote, and we came back to Oakland, and we negotiated a 1-year lease with the 2 years of options and talked about getting together and talking about a long-term future together. A week later, I got a call from the county board of supervisors, tell me, Mark, I'm sorry, but the lease that we just negotiated, the 3 years of leases, are not going to be valid, that we're going to raise the rent 3 times on you. At that point, we ended up signing that lease anyway, but then decided we had to start looking elsewhere to see if we could find a long-term solution.
And that solution has been found. Jonathan Scott, Vegas Nonstop here at NBC Sports Radio, KBET 920. And Las Vegas is getting the NFL. We're going to have football here. It's going to be a couple of years yet. We're going to have to patiently wait.
I think they're saying 2020 is the timeline.
Well, that was my eye exam.
I know they can build it within 2 years. They can put it up in 18 months.
And if they build it, they will come.
Yep.
Have they settled on the spot by Russell Road?
I think that's what they're leaning on. I don't think it's set in stone yet, but
Russell
very shortly.
Russell Road by the Wild Wild West over
by
there?
By the 15.
On
the west side.
Opposite
west
New York,
side.
New York, the other side of 15.
On the west side of the 15, yeah. Where
west
the Wild
side.
Wild West is.
So we talked about Big Dog's Draft House, but we didn't talk about Thursday night's live music on the patio. For those of you that are local and not in France.
Who's in France?
Elizabeth. Elizabeth's watching on Facebook
from
Elizabeth. France.
Hey, Elizabeth.
I know.
Ça va bien, madame, huh? You saw me in Las Vegas?
See? Big Dog's Wisconsin-inspired favorites like walleye, ribs, cheese curds. We love those cheese curds.
Walleye ribs?
Walleye. Ribs. Am I reading too fast?
I never had the rib of a walleye.
Something's fishy.
That's actually the combo that's my surf and turf.
Yeah.
Is the ribs and the walleye. And the cheese curds and over 40 different handcrafted beers. Save the date, Saturday, April 29th for the annual Peace, Love, and Happiness Beer Festival at Big Dog's Draft House with live music.
Every time you do that.
Happiness. Carlitos Burritos. has a new location at 4300 East Sunset in Henderson. New Mexican cuisine at its best. Tuesdays are two for one tacos days. I always have trouble saying that. Two for Tuesday. 2 for Tuesday tacos.
That's all you gotta say is two for Tuesday.
2 for tacos and 2 for 2 with our friend Marco and Kennedy. the Blind Pig Restaurant, 4515.
Oh, yeah.
Dean Martinville, our chef Tommy, came through aces
Killed it for us.
We haven't even talked about our party last week because we've been like out of the gate. Wake up and talk to
you.
Mike
haven't
Bryant.
Sobered up from Friday night.
I have not sobered up from last Friday. We've been on a bender, man. The Blind Pig, 4515 Dean Martin, directly outside of Panorama Towers, where you can see Kimmy Couture bartending today.
Oh, really?
Today, yeah. Kimmy Couture's behind the bar, offering a great menu from Brooklyn-born chef Tommy D'Antonio.
Tommy's the best,
Tommy
man. You guys
D.
want some really good Italian food from New York. Thomas from Brooklyn. He's been in town for over 20 years. He does it the real deal. He put out a couple of trays the other night.
I know.
It was like people were going to the chair.
Meatballs to kill for, and that may have happened.
Sausage and peppers.
I thought that was a good line that I wrote. Meatballs to kill for, and it may have happened. Social hours from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. with half-price appetizers, $4 shots, $3 beers, Blind Pig, which I say is named after my ex-wife. we skipped a spot that we're going to get to it next next commercial break. But
you have no idea.
AA Casero Plumbing, for more than 35 years, AA Casero Plumbing's been servicing Las Vegas Valley for general repairs, water conditioning, waterline detection, and much, much more, specializing in bathroom and kitchen remodeling. AA Casero Plumbing and AA Casero Construction, over 35 years of satisfied customers. AA Casero's family-owned, family-operated. Call 702-361-5386. That's 361-5386. Or email info@caseroplumbing.com. Our good friend Angelo Casero and our friends over at Italian American Club. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the passing of Vinnie Falcone over the weekend. Great conductor. We worked with Vinnie. He was Frank Sinatra's conductor and composer and arranger for many, many years. Played with our friend Pia Zadora. I saw Jordan at the ball game yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Jordan's great, and watching the Cubs win 22-4 was just totally amazing.
It's preseason, John.
So Friday we had a big blowout party for one of our sponsors, another sponsor, Never Too Hungover.
Oh, yeah.
And you can go to hashtag Never Too Hungover, and it's a great product if you drink anywhere near as much as we do.
So we all drank those before we started drinking
that
night.
Yes, we did.
And I had three people text me the next morning saying, tell Jonathan that stuff works.
That's great to hear, and George and Phil Maloof will be glad to hear it. We had a blowout party at Villa Villa, which is Phil Maloof's place over at Palms Place. It's the Palms Place Penthouse, which isn't easy to say either. Palms Place Penthouse. Where's
stunning,
the splash guard on this microphone?
What a stunning apartment.
Shout out to Mike Clark. There's the splash guard over there. Thank you, Bobby.
Bobby.
Mike Clark and Lisa Gay for entertaining. The thank yous are just Stephanie Scott, Bellion. And
look who it is.
Come on in. Yeah, Linda could come on in. She could come in.
Yeah, Stephanie Scott was there. We had DJ CEO. Your entertainment was there. Lisa
Singing. Gay, Mike Clark, Roz Holden.
Chef Gino Bernardo.
Yep.
John Cesenti from ESPN.
Food from Big Dogs. We had the pulled pork sandwiches. We had the pot stickers went in a minute. It was like a feeding frenzy.
Sausage and peppers.
And we went through, I think we went through 12 cases of wine.
Wow.
Matt Mora, shout out Paul Tyra, Kat Hargrave, Tom and Allison Kaz, Jay Amernick, who was doing our murder mystery.
He was great.
And
walking
yeah.
around with his clipboard.
He was taking notes, copious notes through the whole thing. So if you want more information on how to have a wine party and how to have a wine tasting party, if you love wine or maybe just like the idea of having wine delivered to your home, you can go to our website, which is VegasWineLovers.com, VegasWineLovers.com, and click on join, and then it'll give you all the options that are available. And really, you want to take one now? All right, well, let's take it. Bobby said, let's take another break and get the hell out of here.
He'll give us a longer fourth segment.
All right, you're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, KBAD 920 AM.
All right, 3rd and 15. Carr in the gun. 3 receivers left. Now Crabtree is wide right, one on one with Tlaib. Will they go that side? No, they're going left. A pump and a lob for the end zone. Rivera open. He's got it. Touchdown.
Bobby's coming back with some stones.
Oh, yeah, man. All you got to do is let him control the music. We'll be fine.
Oh, I thought we were waiting for you to go, hey.
What?
Jonathan Scott, hey, ha, oh. Jonathan Scott, Vegas Nonstop, NBC Sports Radio, driving Bobby nuts today.
What's the name of that announcer who does Raiders?
It was a three flip-off day so far. Anyway, we haven't talked about NCAA. We talked a lot about the Raiders. We talked about the Cubs. So what is happening, gentlemen? Who wants to lead off the discussion? Where are we left with this final four?
It is March, Jonathan, and there are four teams left.
And it is madness.
There's more than four teams left. I got the pick of the week.
Okay.
Rabish.
It's the first game, of the NIT, and it's Cal State Bakersfield. They have gone 30 for 59 from three-point land in their first three NIT games.
Which is almost 50%.
You're getting about a point and a half, and I love them. I've been betting them for 2 weeks, and they went to Cal, smoked them. They went to Colorado State, smoked them. They went to UT Arlington, beat them, covered as a dog.
That game is tomorrow night at MSG in New York City.
Can't go wrong with the Roadrunners. That's the team.
And you're going to take them on the money line plus 10 cents?
Yep. Money line, I'm going to take them on the money line and forget the VIG. I'm going to get them at a plus price.
Who's left?
That's what I'm doing.
Who's final four, Jonathan? I want to meet someone whose bracket has North Carolina, South Carolina, Oregon, and Gonzaga. If you have those four in your bracket, please step forward. South Carolina and Gonzaga in the final four for the first time in school in each school's history.
Love it.
Zaga.
Oregon there for the first time in 70-plus years. And obviously the storied program of North Carolina. We know they've been there many times and have a few rings in their pockets.
And two of them were number one seeds?
No.
Gonzaga and Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Gonzaga and Carolina.
How did I get something right?
South Carolina is a 7 seed and Oregon is a 2 or a 3? I think it's 3.
Whatever they were, what they've done is impressive because they've done it without Chris Boucher, one of their top players. They
lost him. Who happens to be from Montreal.
I was going to say Bangor,
Mount Royal.
No, he's from Montreal.
So why is Zaga 80-1?
What are you talking about?
In the morning paper. I forgot the morning paper.
No way.
What do you mean?
Maybe that was at the beginning of the season that they were saying that.
Maybe beginning of the year. Yeah.
They've been number one for almost all season. They only have one loss on the year. That was that BYU game where we had him plus 20.
Ooh.
So where's the sit right now? Who's the favorite?
Say right now North Carolina is the favorite out of these four teams. As a matter of fact, we don't have to guess. We're the first game on Saturday. So both games, this is going to be in Glendale, Arizona. University of Phoenix. First game is South Carolina, Gonzaga. Gonzaga is minus 6.5.
Gonzaga.
And the total is 138.
You say Gonzaga.
I love the over in this game. If you've been watching Carolina, South Carolina, those Gamecocks have been putting up a lot of points.
So
far. I'm sorry, what?
They're called the Gamecocks.
I knew that would be a roadblock for someone.
I thought I would wake up the rest of the audience.
I didn't know that was
their
nickname. I would have bet on the Gamecocks.
That coach is fantastic. Frank Martin, like we were talking about.
Frank Martin is unbelievable. He's doing a great job. I saw this team put up 65 points on Duke in the second half alone. Their team total for the game here is 66.
I think that's going to be a fantastic game.
So give us your picks, buddy.
I'm going with Gonzaga because I love Nigel Williams-Goss. He's from Finley Prep up in the foothills, as is Zach Collins, a Vegas kid from Bishop Gorman. I'm with Gonzaga the whole way.
I'm taking South Carolina just because I love the way Frank Martin is coaching this team right now. He has them believing. They've come back in three straight games from being down against what would appear to be better opponents. And I have them playing North Carolina in the finals because I don't think Oregon is going to be able to survive this team without a Chris Boucher.
Well, then let's make a little bet. I got $20 that Gonzaga wins everything. How about you match it with South Carolina? With either one goes the whole way, I owe you 20 or you owe me 20.
Well, you have quite the advantage, seeing as you're almost a 7-point favorite in the game that we're playing.
But you're feeling your oats.
You just got done telling me I should take them on the money line.
Something's fishy.
Something's fishy. The name of Jeffrey's new company. Something's fishy.
How great would that be? A North Carolina, South Carolina finals.
That would be great. Right? That would be cool.
Two states will be watching the game, and the other 48 will be sleeping.
Yeah. You know who's happy about South Carolina? Bryce Harper's older brother, Brian Harper, the lefty in the Nats system. He went to South Carolina, pitched there for 1 year. I think he's probably the happiest person in the Valley.
He's a Gamecock?
Yes.
He's a Gamecock?
Yeah.
Yep.
I know. It's great, right?
I like Gonzaga because I like saying it.
Gonzaga. How do you say it?
It's Zags.
Gonzaga. I just call it
Zags. Yep.
I got to tell you, that North Carolina-Kentucky game yesterday was something else.
It was pretty special.
I mean, Kentucky comes down with 7 seconds left, drains a three to tie it at seven.
Was that three-pointer that was like in midair?
Unreal.
That was unreal.
And then they come back the other way. He dishes it to the kid who's 1 foot inside the three-point line. Nothing but net.
Money.
With 0.3 seconds left.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's the best time of year. It's the best basketball to watch. Folks, you're going to see some good stuff on Saturday. You mentioned a hockey game.
Yep, there's a great game tonight.
Let's give the listeners a winner tonight, Rob.
Yes, this is. I don't think this will be anything to sweat. Calgary, if you take them on the puck line tonight, minus a goal and a half, they are playing Colorado. Colorado is 1-19, their last 20 road games. The Flames have won 8 of their last 9 at home. Calgary, you can get minus a puck and a half at a plus price. Run to the window. Don't walk.
Which means the regular line must be like 240 or 250.
Calgary Flames given a goal and a half.
Take it on the goal line.
There's nothing fishy about that game.
Nothing fishy. Jeffrey's other company.
Nothing's fishy.
You know, like something fishy? All right, so you wanted to hear a story, and I started telling you the story before. It's a fish story.
Oh,
it's a fish story because my father grew up on the west side of Chicago, and he had a neighbor, and everybody in Chicago had nicknames. In fact, Sonny King said to me one time, he said, Johnny, I love guys from Chicago because they have the as their middle name. Linda's heard this story a million times.
What was your nickname?
I didn't grow up on the west side of Chicago.
Johnny the what?
My father's nickname was Dewey.
Dewey the what?
Dewey. It really meant do you or don't you? Are you with me or you're against me? And that was my
father's.
You're
either with us or you're against us.
My father was a bookie. And so, and he got caught. And back then, if you got caught, you had two choices, either go to jail or go to the Army. He went in the Army. But his neighbor was a guy named Minnow Moskowitz. And
nice
Minnow Moskowitz's brother's name was Fishy. It was Minnow and Fishy Moskowitz. And Minnow Moskowitz was actually a writer for Woody Allen.
Minnow and Fishy.
Minnow and Fishy Moskowitz.
Okay.
They all had nicknames. They all had nicknames. So Minnow Moskowitz became a writer for Woody Allen, a comedy writer. And
okay.
He was bald. And if you remember the movie Take the Money and Run, there was a famous Woody Allen scene where it was a bank robbery. And Woody Allen is giving the teller a note. And the teller says, I have a gub. What's a gub? He said, no, it's an N. I have a gun. I said, no, it looks like a B. And she calls the manager over and says, does this look like an N? Does it look like a B? Well, the guy behind Woody in the line was Minnow Moskowitz.
Classic Woody Allen.
And I got to meet Woody Allen at the Mill Run Theater, which was my first job in Chicago. It was owned by Sammy Davis Jr. And I got to meet Minnow Moskowitz, and it was a double bill. And the double bill was Woody Allen opening for Frank Zappa.
Wow.
Woody Allen and Frank Zappa, and my parents had no clue about Frank Zappa. Like, what the hell's going on with Frank Zappa? Of course, I was high, and you know, I thought it was just the whole thing was great. So that's my Minnow Moskowitz, Fishy Moskowitz story for you.
Good story.
I didn't
want
to tell you in the
fishy.
Parking lot because I knew we would need to kill some time.
Minnow
you'd have more time. So do you think the Cubs could repeat?
I think they can repeat. I think it's going to be very difficult for them to repeat. It's gonna you know, rely on them staying healthy all year. And remember now, they have a target on their back. Every time they play someone, they're gonna try and take them out because everyone wants to shout at the Cubs. Now, the Red Sox, on the other hand...
Oh, come on.
...have an unbelievable rotation with Chris Sale, Porcello, and even though David Price isn't looking so good right now. Young team. Watch out for a young man in the outfield by the name of Anthony Benintendi.
He's Italian guy?
Number one baseball prospect. You say everyone knows that, but I don't think they do. Most baseball fans haven't heard of this kid. He's the number one prospect. He was the SEC Player of the Year. This kid can outright fly, plays all right defense, but he's great with the stick.
If you guys want to see the interview with Chris Bryant, you can go back on my Facebook page at Jonathan Scott LV from Saturday's game. We were there early. We were on the field with Chris Bryant. I asked him what his favorite Chicago restaurant was, and he talked about his favorite restaurant here in Las Vegas. And
what did he say, Amore? With his
Amore.
Dad?
No, he said Brando's. Brando's on Blue Diamond. That's a shout-out to Nick. We're going to stop over for an Italian beef wet with the Jardiniere. Only place you can get that.
Come
great
on.
Pizza. No, well, it's great there. At Brando's on Blue Diamond.
I got to take your word for it because I'm not from Chicago.
What about NBA? Anything?
Celtics, baby. Watch out for those Celtics.
All right, I'm hearing you.
They're going to be the number one seed in the East.
I want to thank Mike Bryant for calling in. I want to thank
Mike's
Kevin Burke.
Always great.
20. I want to thank Rob Mish.
Hey, now.
20. And, of course, Jeffrey with a G. Tune in on Friday at Facebook Live. Like us, share us, if you see us out there. Buy us a drink. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Jonathan Scott. Peace out. Tell me why.